Eternal God, our Father, we do come now in the name of Jesus. God, in that you do answer prayer. We pray now, as you have spoken to me, you might speak through me. Lord, I'm frail, I'm flimsy, I'm faltering. I'm just clay. But you are eternal. You're holy. You are powerful. Lord, you told us in your word we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Strengthen me now for this preaching moment. Somebody needs to hear your voice. Somebody needs to be touched by your spirit. Somebody needs to be encouraged. Somebody needs to be lifted up. Somebody needs to know it's going to be all right. Might be rough right now, but it's going to be all right. Long as they look to you and trust in you, hold fast in them, it's going to be all right. Thank you, Lord, for your manifest presence in this place. Thank you, Lord, for your power and for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us already. We pray now in the name of Jesus, bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart. Let it be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It's in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. Sisters and brothers, I'm still learning. And I've learned that when God speaks to us, God does so to help us. So we can put things in context about where we are, what we are encountering, what we are going through, and what lies ahead. So I want you to know, if you are dealing with something, going through something, or wrestling with something, God has something to say about it. And when God speaks to us, it helps us to put things in proper perspective. A couple of months ago, I was sitting at my desk and I heard the voice of the Lord. And immediately, my mind focused on a particular book in the Bible, which I believe address what I was hearing from the Lord, Exodus. I realized that in chapter 14 that they had just come across the Red Sea and God had delivered them from their enemies. So I said I was going to start in chapter 15 and then read till I found what the Lord had said. As soon as I read chapter 15, I stopped reading because that's what the Lord was saved. So for a few minutes, I want to call your attention to Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 22 through 26. According to the New King James rendering, you will find these words. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it is called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you." The word of God for the people of God. For just a few minutes, I want to talk from what the Lord put in my spirit just a couple of months ago. Wilderness work. Wilderness work. Sisters and brothers, chapter 15 of the book of Exodus is a capsule of events, the responses, the activities, and the experiences that happened throughout the journey of God's people through the wilderness. If you don't have time to read the whole book, read chapter 15. And that pretty much tells the whole story in a nutshell. This chapter opens with celebration, a song of victory in the wake of God delivering his people from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea. In response, they sang a song, but not just any song. They sang a song of praise about God's power, about God's providence, about God's mighty hand, about God's deliverance, about what God had done to their enemies, and about what that moment represented for them. A new beginning. They were happy because they were on their way to a land of milk and honey. But they had to be tested or proven before they got there. And where better to test people than in the wilderness? When they first got in the wilderness, they must have had a choir because the people were singing. But it didn't take long for them to go from singing to God's praises to complaining. They were in the wilderness and there was not much there. But God was with them. Evidently, they were not familiar with the song, a song like David wrote, "I will bless the Lord at all times, his praises shall continually be in my mouth." Evidently, they were not familiar with the kind of sentiment that Paul expressed in his letter to the church at Thessalonica when he said, "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." In the midst of the wilderness, they had one question for Moses: is God with us or not? Moses, sisters and brothers, had been called by God to lead a ragtag band of over a million people, multicultural former slaves, into the wilderness. First to be tested and secondly to worship God. The wilderness, brothers and sisters, is a place of desolation, despair, and destitution. But it's a necessary place. Nobody else may have been familiar with the desert, but Moses was. In fact, Moses had encountered God in the wilderness, as the Bible says, on the backside of the desert. Do I have a witness in here? The Hebrew word for wilderness is midbar, and the Greek word is eremia or eremos. The meanings are similar, indicating an uninhabited place, a desolate, deserted, or lonely place, or a wasteland. I recently watched a program talking about the history of water. It highlighted the Tibu tribe of Africa, which crosses the Sahara Desert once a year in the dry season, and they call the Sahara the Tenement, which means the land of nothing. All in search of water, and finding water means the difference between life and death. I'll never forget when I arrived in Saudi Arabian desert during the Persian Gulf War. When I got off the plane, all I saw was sand. I remember us when we were on our way into Iraq. We drove for miles and miles and miles, and I didn't see a single tree, a bush, and no water. All I saw was dirt. That's how it is in the desert. That's why when you are doing wilderness work, you need faith. Because there will be times when you won't see anything. You know what faith is, don't you? The writer of Hebrews wrote, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But in ghetto vernacular, faith is going when you don't know where, waiting when you don't know when, and believing when you don't know how. That's what faith is, and you will sure enough need it when you are in the wilderness or doing wilderness work. But just like in the text, when you get out in the wilderness, you find out who has faith and who doesn't. God would have me to tell you that if he leads you into the wilderness and you don't have faith, that's going to be your final resting place. You're not coming out. I believe that's why the writer of Hebrews wrote, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Do I have a witness in here? The wilderness environment has been known to influence how people respond. But God's people are not supposed to be influenced by the environment. We are supposed to remain unchanged. Isn't that right? Whether we are in the wilderness or in the promised land, whether we have much or have little, whether we are having sunshine and days or it's raining in our lives, whether we are on the mountaintop or down in the valley, and whether we see our way out or not, we are supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. How can you tell you are either in or doing wilderness work? Well, if you are at a place in your life where you really have to trust the Lord because you don't know how you're going to make it, you're in the wilderness. If you're in a place where you don't have the answer to the problems in your life and you have to look to the Lord, you're in the wilderness. If you are at a place in your life where you don't know how you're going to get out of the mess that you're in, you're in the wilderness. And if you're around people who are always complaining about going back to yesterday, yesteryear, or yesterleader, then you are doing wilderness work. I believe God wants us to know that while we are in the wilderness, we ought to listen to the Lord. Because God is a wilderness specialist. God can lead you into the wilderness. God can lead you through the wilderness. And then God can lead you out of the wilderness. Tell your neighbor, if you're in the wilderness, you better listen to the Lord. Sisters and brothers, symbolic of wilderness work is when people can move from giving God the glory and praise to giving the leader grief. That's what the wilderness work will do. And in the wilderness, sometimes people have short memories. They soon forgot that the Lord had brought them out of slavery. They forgot the Lord had delivered them from Pharaoh's army by causing the water to stand still so they could walk across on dry land. That's a miracle. I don't know if you've ever seen the tide go out in a river or on the ocean, but when it does go out, all it is mud. Do I have a witness? I've thrown a few rocks into that mud and it looks bad. The rock sinks right down. But Moses and the people were able to cross over on dry ground. But when their enemy tried to cross, it turned back in the mud. Get that right? Y'all know the story, don't you? That's why the songwriter wrote, Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. So tell Mary, don't you weep, and go tell Martha not. Sisters and brothers, when you are in the wilderness, just remember that the Lord, remember what the Lord has already done for you. But I believe I ought to tell you that people don't like to be in the wilderness. Preachers don't like it. Deacons don't like it. Trustees don't like it. Church folks don't like it. Am I right about it? And if you are in the wilderness as a church, a ministry, or a faith group, there's somebody going to be complaining because they're going to believe somebody's responsible for them being there. Yeah. And the way they see it, God ain't got nothing to do with it. Yeah. But in the text, God led them into the wilderness to test or prove them, to see if they would be faithful or not, dedicated or not, loyal or not, dependable or not. Now, the concept of us trying God is promoted more than the concept of God trying us. And most of the time, we focus on that passage in Malachi where it says, "Prove me now. Herewith saith the Lord, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, you won't have room enough to receive." But like it or not, people go into the wilderness. Ministries sometimes end up in the wilderness. Churches sometimes travel through the wilderness. Communities have their share of wildernesses. Families can sometimes wind up in the wilderness. And relationships can encounter wilderness-like conditions. But you can best believe, if the Lord led you there, you are on your way to a better place. The hardships and risks of life in the wilderness is pointed out in the text. And despite Israel being delivered from bondage in Egypt, they still had to face tough conditions of struggle that all people have to face in the wilderness. So even if God delivers us, we still have to face some hardships. We still have to wrestle with some issues. We still have to grapple with some grief. We still have to overcome some difficulties. And we still have to traverse tough terrain on our way to the promised land. They ended up in Marah, a place of bitter water. The waters of life are sometimes bitter. And there may be nothing to make it sweet. But our faith can help us to deal with bitter waters without becoming bitter ourselves. Because God is able to give life, especially in circumstances where life is lacking. God is able to give life where there is no life. To give bread from heaven in the morning, deliver meat on the east wind in the evening, give us water from a rock in dry places. And God can create people out of no people. Isn't God able? In the wilderness, we need to turn to God and not turn on each other. In the wilderness, you need experienced people. Are people with wilderness experience. The wilderness, brothers and sisters, is inevitable. But nobody wants to stay in the wilderness. In the wilderness, they were frustrated. So they took out their frustrations on Moses. If you don't want to become a target for people's frustration, don't do wilderness work. But I'm not afraid to tell you, we are called to do wilderness work. Everybody is not going to praise or follow you while you're doing wilderness work. But one of the saving graces that we have when we are called to do wilderness work is that God will put some Joshuas and Calebs in our lives. Yeah, if you're in the wilderness or you're doing wilderness work, you need a Joshua or a Caleb. Sometimes it's a deacon or a mother or an associate or a father or a brother. You're going to need a Caleb or a Joshua. I thank God since I've been at this church, I've had one or two. I remember, this ain't in my script, I remember a few years ago it hit a rough road in here. Amen. And I heard the gripes, I heard the complaints, and there were some people, because when you're in the wilderness, there's always somebody who will carry somebody else's garbage and come and drop it on your lap. There's always somebody who will carry somebody else's attack and drop it at your feet. Oh, y'all quiet in here. It was heavy. I was burdened down and I was sitting in a meeting and they were just piling on and piling on and piling on. And one deacon who don't holly talk, he never says anything. But he opened up his mouth and he said, "Brothers, I've been here a while. And we've been in places like this before. But the Lord always brought us out." Thank you, Lord. For Joshua and Caleb. If anybody knows, sisters and brothers, how to survive and thrive in the wilderness, it's black folk. Slavery was a horrible wilderness, but they adapted because God was there. Jim Crow was a terrible wilderness, but they adapted because God was there. Living in states that glorify and fly the hateful Confederate flag is a wilderness. But we survive because God is there. Working in cotton fields, building the wealth and infrastructure of America without pay is a terrible wilderness. But we survive because God was there. Working a sharecropper and ending the year owing the owner of the land is a wilderness. But we survived because God was there. And sometimes being the last hired and the first fired is a wilderness. But they made it because God was there. Nobody wants to be in the wilderness. That's why people leave churches that are in the wilderness or seem like they are in the wilderness. Tell your neighbor, we might be in the wilderness, but we're going somewhere. Tell your neighbor, I might be in the wilderness, but I'm going somewhere. Sisters and brothers, the wilderness is not a bad place if the Lord has led you there. The wilderness is not a bad place if the Spirit of God is with you. And the wilderness is not a bad place to be when you are on your way to the promised land. Because it was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted and tested. But he stayed there and he came out all right. Ain't God all right? People don't like the wilderness, but the wilderness is a good place to be to get rid of some stuff. If you want to get rid of some fake friends, go into the wilderness. If you want to see some false worshipers, go into the wilderness. And if you want to know who's really with you, go into the wilderness. The wilderness serves a divine purpose. God told Moses in the 16th chapter, he was going to test Israel's children to see if they would walk according to his law or not. The word prove comes from the Hebrew word bakan and means to examine, to test, to investigate, or to try. The wilderness is where you go to be tested, shaped, and proven. And God can use the wilderness to get some stuff in us and get some stuff out of us. The habits we develop in bondage have to be removed. The people we trusted in Egypt have to be forgotten. And the things we depended on all our lives, we have to learn to do without. Won't the wilderness do it? The wilderness is a testing place. But if you are doubting, you're failing the test. If you spend your time complaining, you're failing the test. If you point the finger blaming everybody else, you're failing the test. And if you don't walk by faith, you're failing. God delivered them from bondage in Egypt. But it did not mean they would not have to face any more hardships. When God delivers us, it just proves He's able. So when hard times come, we know He's able. When difficulties come, He's able. When dry spells hit, He's able. When fair weather friends leave us, He's able. When money is low, He's able. When things look dreary, He's able. When we're surrounded by complainers and criticism, He's able. And when we can't see no sign of making it out, He's able. In the able. I know He's able. Wilderness work is crucial because of what it does. It exposes things. If wilderness work does what it's supposed to do, it gets us ready for where the Lord is leading us to, because it helps us to realize it's really all about God and does not have much to do with us. In the wilderness, we learn if God doesn't move, it's not happening. If God doesn't provide, we won't make it. If God doesn't protect us, we're in big trouble. And if God doesn't lead us, we're going no place fast. But won't God move? Won't He make a way out of no way? Won't He provide? Won't He protect you? Ain't He a way out of no way? Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right? There are some folk who need sunshiny days, easy going, smooth roads, and no problems to get their praise on. But if you can praise the Lord, shout for joy, lift up holy hands, sing hallelujah in the wilderness, you can do it anywhere, anytime, and under any condition. Because the truth is, be ready to be praised anywhere. Ain't He alright? Ain't He alright? I stopped by here to tell you that if you follow Jesus, there's a wilderness in your future. If you make God your choice, there's a wilderness in your future. If you follow God's leadership, there's a wilderness down the road. But the wilderness is a temporary place on your way to the promised land. Ain't He all right? Ain't He all right? Some sisters and brothers, some people can only worship God on plush pews or in immaculate sanctuaries. But we ought to be able to worship the Lord even in the wilderness, like Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. They worship the Lord even in a furnace. And like Daniel, who worshiped the Lord in a lion's den. Just like Paul and Silas, who worshiped the Lord while in jail. And just like Jesus had a worship service and a revival in hell. And right early Sunday morning, He came out just fine. Isn't God able? points. Three quick points. If we are going to successfully negotiate our way, if you are going to successfully negotiate your way through the wildernesses in your life, you need to do certain things. Number one, you need to seek the Lord. Stop looking to the pastor or to the deacons or to the trustees or to the associate ministers or to this one or that one, and start looking to God. Whether you know it or not, that's what I'm doing. Pastor, what you gonna do? I'm gonna trust the Lord. Pastor, what you gonna do? I'm gonna wait on the Lord. Pastor, what you gonna do? I'm gonna have a little talk with Jesus and tell him all about my troubles. Won't he hear? Secondly, follow God's orders. If you want to get where God wants you to be, follow his orders. If you want to arrive where God wants you to go, follow God's orders. If you want to receive God's favor and healing, follow God's orders. And if you want to set foot on the promised land, follow God's orders. And finally, be prayerful. Like Moses, every now and again, have a talk with God. When it looked bad, talk to God. When resources are low, talk to God. And when people turn on you, talk to God, because he's able to make your enemies your footstool. He's able to prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He's able to give you bread when you're hungry and water when you're thirsty. Isn't he able? Isn't he able? Isn't he able? When trouble came, that's what Moses did. When he couldn't see his way, he called on the Lord. When the bottom fell out, he called on the Lord. When opposition rose, he called on the Lord. He didn't call on Aaron. He didn't call on Joshua. He didn't call on Caleb. He didn't call on Miriam. He didn't call on the elders. He called on God, the same God who met him on the backside of the desert. The same God who sent him on a mission to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. The same God who stood between them and the enemy in a cloud of fire, cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. And the same God who led them safely across the Red Sea. So if you're in the wilderness, call on the Lord. Because I believe the songwriter writes, call on Jesus, he will answer prayer. Won't he do it? Well, I've held you too long. But as I close, I'm reminded of a true story. A group of sisters from a church decided to have Bible study in the home of one of their members named Jackie. The home was located in the hood, if you will. But they did not let that stop them from gathering and studying God's word. They opened with prayer, had some refreshments and fellowship with one another. While they were there, a young man walked in the house, pulled out a gun, and said, "Give me your money, your jewelry, and your phones." Some of the women in the house thought he was playing. They thought it was a joke. And one of the ladies in the house brushed aside the gun. He said, "Ladies, this is not a joke. This is a stick-up. I want your money, your jewelry, and your phones." And one lady looked and discovered that the gun was real. Not a cap gun, not a water gun or a blank gun. Because he pulled the clip out and put it back in and she realized it was real. It quickly became a hostile situation with these women in the house. And when Jackie, who owned the house, realized what was going on, she walked up to the young man and said, "Get out of my house." The young man said, "This is a robbery." But Jackie said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of my house." Jackie said she began to feel confident and began saying the name of Jesus, "Get out of my house." Jackie said the women in the background started saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And she did it again. She said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of my house." The police report read, when they picked up Derek Lee, he was confounded and dumbfounded and waiting on them to arrest him. And when they asked him what had happened, he said, "Jesus got me out of that house." And that's what I want to leave you with. If your family is in the wilderness, if your job is turned into a wilderness, if your relationship is in the wilderness, if your health has you in the wilderness, just remember to call that name. Y'all know him, don't you? He's the one God exalted and gave him a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There's salvation in that name. There's healing in that name. There's deliverance in that name. And there's joy in that name. I wonder, is there anybody here who don't mind calling on Jesus? Mary's baby, Joseph's boy, I'd love to call that name. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noonday, Jesus in the evening, Jesus in the midnight hour. When I call that name, it put running in my head, laughing in my head. When I call that name, it puts joy in my soul. Y'all know him, don't you? Have you tried him? Ain't he alright? Ain't he alright? I've been in the wilderness of sin, but God brought me out. Then I lost my mind, but God brought me out. Could be locked up in jail, but the Lord brought me out. Could be dead, sleeping in my grave, but the Lord brought me out. I don't know about you, but my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but on Jesus, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the cross, ain't it alright? Ain't it alright? Your life, because of Jesus, because of Jesus, we're on our way out of debt, on our way out of doubt, on our way out of disbelief, on our way out of disharmony, on our way out of dysfunction. We're on our way because of the Lord. If there's somebody in here that don't mind calling his name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. or you're doing wilderness work, just call on the name of Jesus. The hymn writer said, there is a name I love to hear. I love to sing his word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. The doors of the church are open.